I'll hurry. Amen. Take your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 7. We continue our study on the flesh and started on the 15th of January and thought it was going to be one message and ended up we're not finished. Last week we got to two subpoints and that was it. Unbelievable, really hard to imagine. And that is not necessarily planned. Like I say, the message was originally written for one message, and it just has turned into a study. It's been good, I think. It's been a help to me. It's been a help, I think, to others. And started off talking about when God gave man the law. That was the Sunday morning of January 15th, and talked about the law and how the law takes us to Jesus. And we should not be upset about the law. We should love the law. The law of the Lord is perfect, but the law reveals what we are, and it shows us that we are flesh, we are sinners, and shows us that we need the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God for that. A lot of the world, they go on their lives, they think everything's okay, think they're doing all right, and if somebody doesn't take them the truth of the law, the Word of God, if somebody didn't show them, they don't find out they need Jesus as their Savior. And so the law is our schoolmaster. It brings us to Christ, and preach messages about law and grace and law, grace and sons, and talked about that. But as far as the flesh, we've talked about, number one, the description of the flesh. And it started off with Romans 7. We looked at the Apostle Paul looking at himself and seeing the truth. And I think being in shock, I think as the more he realized this flesh of his and how terrible it really is, it disturbed him, it frustrated him. We read that in Romans chapter 7. He says in verse 22, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law." That's that flesh. "I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" And literally, he is talking about the flesh. And so we saw, number one, the description of the flesh, and the Bible talks about the flesh and what it is, and in our flesh dwells no good thing. The law of sin is there. It is enmity with God. It cannot please God. There is nothing in our flesh. You know, we have this idea that somehow in our flesh we can please God. You cannot please God in your flesh. It is not possible. And so it is in Romans 8, he talks about it being, again, we're at enmity with God. It is the course, our flesh follows the course of this world. The prince, of course, is Satan, and we disobey, we lust, we desire, and a description of the flesh is very clear, and Paul, again, sees it as, "O wretched man that I am." And then we go to Galatians 5, we see the works of the flesh, and when they're manifest, in other words, what is in us, what we are, when it's manifest, Galatians 5, verses 19 to 21, gives us a long, long list of what ways our flesh manifests itself: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, and the long list. We'll not go through it again. And again, let's not think somehow that because, well, I don't do all those things, but those things, that flesh, that potential is in every one of us. "And let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." And it's good to have the Word of God. It's good to have God's Word to show us these tendencies and these leanings in our lives. And by the way, as we talk about adultery, fornication, uncleanness, let me remind you that variance is there. That's causing strife. That's sowing discord among the brethren. Emulations is there. That's being jealous or envious of others. Wrath is there. That's when your anger boils over and you lose your temper. Strife is there, picking fights. Seditions is there, being disloyal. Heresies is there. Envyings are there. Murders are there. Drunkenness, revelings. And again, that's our flesh. That's our potential. Our flesh, that's our potential. And so the Bible certainly gives us a very, very clear description of the flesh. No question about it. And again, it's not pretty. And it's not something we'd like, you know, we would like to not think about ourselves that way, but that is the honest way. And it's just like, you know, somebody said, "Well, I don't want to go to church and feel bad. I want to feel good." Then I would encourage you, never go to your doctor again. Never go to the eye doctor again. Because they're going to eventually tell you something you're not going to like. Don't go to your banker. Amen. I mean, honestly, you know, do you want the truth or do you want somebody just to tell you nice, cute things? I think the best thing we need that we can have, and I thank God that I went to a church where the preacher preached the Word of God as a new Christian, and I sat there, my wife and I sat there as newly saved hippies, and thank God we had a preacher that wasn't intimidated by how we were, and he just preached the truth, because that's what I needed. I'm so glad my doctor is not intimidated. I'm so glad over the years I've had doctors that weren't intimidated because they thought I might go somewhere else. And I'm glad one doctor just looked at me and said, "You're fat." I'm glad. I'm glad my doctor here in Adrian said, "You're borderline diabetic. You need to start eating right." I'm glad. I thank God for that. I don't want to lose a toe and then another toe and then half a foot and then an ankle and then a leg. I don't want to go through all that, folks. I like a doctor to tell me. I thank God I had a doctor one day say, "You have glaucoma. You're going to have to put drops in your eyes." I'm glad. I thank God for that. Thank God that I've had a doctor tell me you have to have laser surgery in your eyes. And that's kind of a strange thing. You don't like the thought of that. And yet I thank God. For that, and thank God that that happened. And I thank God for a preacher that preached the truth to me as a new Christian, and so I could see what God wants me to do about my flesh. Instead of just saying, "Well, it's okay, because that's how we are, and we just need to be who we are." No, I want to be like him. I want to be what pleases him. I want to live a life that is going to please him. And so again, the description of the flesh, very, very clear in the scripture. Number two, we saw the desire of the flesh. And simply spoken, it is a lust. It is a desire. The lust of the flesh. And it appeals to our senses. In other words, you say, "I like this." Well, that doesn't necessarily mean it's right. Okay? It appeals to our senses. It appeals to that which the Bible says. In reference to that, it uses the same kind of words, devilish, earthly, sensual, in a very negative way. Well, sensual, that is that which appeals to our senses. Right in there with devilish, right in there with earthly, worldly, all of it goes together. It's what we like. It's very simple. That's why it's such a battle. That's why so many churches have quit preaching about the works of the flesh. They've quit naming names of sin. They've quit talking about it, quit speaking about it, because the truth of the matter is the guy up there speaking is usually speaking about something he even likes. It's just how it is, because the flesh has a desire, and if it has a desire, it's something we like. It's something I like. It's something you like. It's something that we desire, and we only desire those things that we like. So here's the thing. You know, we like our sins. We don't like all sins. We can get mad at Tim's sins. You know, we'll get all bent out of shape over Brother Korea's sins, but we like our sins. And aren't we like that? Yes, we are. I'll agree with myself. So Paul, here's his problem in Romans 7. He was against that which he desired. And he's frustrated because he said, "God, I want to please you. And I know that pleasing you means that I got to do something about this flesh. Because I want to please you, but I don't always please you. And I want to do what you say, but I don't always do what you say. And I don't want to do what you told me not to do, but sometimes I do it." And he's very frustrated with it. And, you know, again, we go back and again, for review, that desire of the flesh, God convicts us. And we say, "Shh, leave me alone, God." We quench the spirit. We quench the spirit. That's how sad. You know, "God, I don't want to hear that." Why don't you want to hear it? Aren't you a Christian? Don't you go to church? I mean, don't you teach Sunday school? Wait a minute. You're a Christian. What do you mean you don't want to hear it? Well, because I like that. I like that program. I like doing that thing. I like that person. And there's our battle. Right? There's our battle. And we literally quench the Spirit of God, which, by the way, grieves the Spirit of God, because he's trying to help us to do that which is going to be the very best thing for us. And the whole root of the flesh is found in one word, and that's self. Self. You know, when we give in to the flesh, we are being very selfish. We're saying, "Wait a minute, I'm more important than God is. My feelings are more important than what God says. What I like is more important than what God says. What I want to do is more important than God's will. And I'm going to be very selfish, and that is fleshly. That is sensual. Sensual is selfish, satisfying self. And so we saw the description of the flesh. We see the desire of the flesh. And then we started in a couple weeks ago on demonstrations of the flesh and just looked at some flesh in the scriptures. Adam and Eve, we saw that. We looked at it. Good, pleasant, desired. Here's what Eve said. Hey, the fruit, God said not to eat it, but it's good. It's pleasant. It's desired. And so what'd she do? She ate, right? It's what we do. I mean, it's not that we're saying, God, I don't care what you say. We eventually say that. It's just, well, but this is good, and I like it. And it can't be wrong if I like it. Some that go way back, and there's several of us here tonight that go way back. There used to be a song called, If Loving You Is Wrong, I Don't Want to Be Right. You know, what's the truth of that song? Well, the truth of that song is, if I do, I want to do what I want to do. I don't care if it's right, wrong, or indifferent. I just want to do what I want to do. I want to please me. That's being selfish. And so Adam and Eve, what were they? They were being selfish. Cain was very selfish when he killed his brother. He became very wroth, and he hated his brother Abel. Now, by the way, he didn't always hate his brother Abel, but eventually he gave in to the flesh, and the flesh was envious and jealous of Abel and what he did, and so he kills him. By the way, hatred is, the Bible says, if you hate a brother, you're a murderer. That's because it's already in your heart. If you hate somebody, I'm not telling you go ahead and kill them, or we might have some executions right after the service. But I'm just saying what you ought to do is get right with God and get rid of the hate, because it will destroy your life. Amen. So other demonstrations of the flesh, we saw Esau, and his guts growled, and he sold his birthright. What did he do? He gave in to the flesh. Whoa, what a foolish decision. And yet we make those same kinds of decisions based on the flesh. We saw Achan. Achan, you know, here's the flesh right here. I saw, I coveted, I took, I hid. Yeah, that's the story of Achan. What did it do? It cost him his family and his own life as they're stoned to death. We saw Samson, his lust for women. It cost him his eyes. It cost him his freedom. It cost him his ministry. We saw David and his flesh. It started off so innocent. Started off like so many people, you know. We skip church for things. We skip church because we want to stay home and watch the Super Bowl. We skip church because we want to stay home and watch something else. We skip church because we want to go to a ball game. We skip church for all kinds of... Now, I'm going to tell you. You say, yeah, but I like that. Yeah, that's your flesh talking. Because David, it was just a simple little thing. It's when kings go forth to battle, David stayed home. Bible says David tarried. That was his flesh. I don't know why he didn't go. Kings go forth to battle. That means he's a king. He's supposed to go forth to battle, right? But he stayed. David tarried in Jerusalem. And boy, you talk about costing him dearly. By the way, once you open the door to the flesh, David, I can tell you, I really don't think David stayed home to commit adultery. I think he stayed home because, you know, my show's on TV, my team's playing, you know, or whatever. And he had no idea that he would plunge his whole family into the sin and result of his sin when he stayed home from that which he was supposed to be at. Cost him dearly. See it all the time, though. And so his flesh. And again, I have to mention this because it will be said again. When we open the door and start entertaining our flesh, we are, okay, the list in Galatians, anything's possible. Hey, you didn't get on that computer planning on committing adultery. But I got news for you. Once you open the door, well, I'm just flirting with somebody. Once you open the door, I'm telling you, you will lose control fast because you are entertaining a flesh that desires and it's hungry. And when it's hungry, it will satisfy itself. Dangerous. But I preached about that last week. Then we talked about Amnon. And of course, Amnon, he became so vexed, he fell sick for his sister. The Bible says, for she was a virgin. And his lust, Bible says he loved her. But his lust was greater than his love because he said, I want what I can't have, and I'll take what I can't have. And after he committed the act of rape, the Bible says he hated her more than he ever loved her. his flesh. He didn't plan that, but that's exactly what happened. It's amazing what we'll do in the flesh. It's amazing how we'll do it, how far we'll actually go in the flesh. We move on, we talk about Peter. In Luke 22, we see another demonstration of the flesh. Look at it, Luke 22. Luke 22, and Peter, you know, he's just a different kind of a guy, but I've always liked Peter, and I've always liked his excitement and his zeal, and sometimes his zeal gets him in trouble. But, you know, bless God, when you give that zeal to Jesus and you tell the flesh no and you start doing what God says, boy, that zeal can be a great, great thing. And Luke 22, verse 31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. Peter was so sure of himself. What did I preach on this morning? I'll glory in mine infirmities. I'll get God, I'm weak. I need you. I need you. Peter says, I got it under control, Jesus. You don't have to worry about a thing. I will go with you to prison and to death. He said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Wow. And Peter, in the flesh, he cut off the guard's ear, you know. But then he himself denied Christ in the flesh. You say, I would never deny Christ. But you don't know what your flesh will do once you open the door to it. You have no idea what your flesh will do. How is it that people in the ministry throw away their ministry? I know them. We hear about it all the time. Heard of a pastor just recently, threw away his ministry because of his flesh. How does that happen? It happens to anybody in this room. Because it is us. It is what we are. And you better be careful. Peter, I prayed for you. You know what Peter should have done? He should have said, you know, Jesus, if you prayed for me, I'd better pray for me too. I'd better walk with you. I'd better get closer to you. Because if you say that I'm going to be sifted, if you say the devil's coming after me, I'd better really get close to you. Ananias and Sapphira in their flesh. Wait a minute. Ananias and Sapphira, the offering plates pass. They give half of the price that they sold their property for. Isn't that wonderful? Well, I'll tell you what, Brother Tim, that'd be a good offering, wouldn't it? I'm talking about a lot of money. That's a good offering. They gave a lot. Hey, listen to me. They were good church people. But wait a minute. They said they gave it all. And so they told a lie in the flesh. Now, they said they gave it all because, I don't know, maybe they wanted everybody to say, ooh, ah. You know, maybe they wanted everybody to be impressed with them. I don't know. I mean, they gave a lot. It was a blessing. It was great. It was a great amount that they gave, but they got in the flesh. And they died. Boy, aren't you glad that every time we get in the flesh, we don't die? Because we wouldn't be here. Any of us. It'd be real tough to pay the bills. Amen. Yeah. Demas got in the flesh. Demas hath forsaken me, Paul said. Well, why? He loved the present world. The only way you love the world is in the flesh. Sorry. That's true. It's the flesh. The world is at enmity with God. That's clear in Scripture. Jesus said, very clearly, the Bible says, love not the world. That's cosmos. That is a world system that is against God. Love not the world. Neither the things that are in the world. We're not supposed to love the world. Demas forsook Paul, his ministry. Why? Because he loved the present world. I every now and then somebody, well, God made the world. He wants us to enjoy everything. I'm not talking about the trees. Go bite a tree. You know, get a piece of bark out. There's a lot of people doing stuff like that. And that's not what we're talking about. I'm talking about a world system that's against God. And Demas got in the flesh. And there went his ministry. Look at 3 John. 3 John. Any chapter will do. 3 John verse 9. Don't talk about it a lot, but good verse. Here's a man, got in the flesh. Diotrephes. 3 John 9. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. And here's a guy that attacked and rejected the authority that God had put over him, and all he is just in the flesh. The Corinthian church was a carnal church. Look at 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I have never understood why a church would name themselves Corinthian church. You know, here and you see them every now and then. You go especially down south. I think they run out of names or something and think, oh, there's a nice name. You know, the Corinthian Baptist Church or something. Although maybe they're just being honest. I don't know. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14, and the Bible says here, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. That's the unsaved man. That's a natural man. For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. That's a spiritual person. That's a saved person who is walking with God. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of God. Of Christ. But now notice what he says to the Corinthians. He says, chapter 3, verse 1, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ, because a new Christian is more fleshly than, obviously, than someone who's been saved for years, or should be. Amen. Notice the word should. But again, here's this new Christian, here's the Corinthian church. He said, I can't even talk to you as unto spiritual, but you're carnal. He said, I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. Why couldn't they handle meat of the Word of God? Why'd they have to suck on a baby bottle? Well, because they were babies, because they were carnal. They were carnal. And verse 3, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying, strife, and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men, fleshly men? Yeah, see, again, the Corinthians, they were carnal and that they were carnal Christians. In chapter 3 and verse 16, he says, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men. See? Again, well, you know, it let no man deceive himself. Just on and on and on and on and on. You know, you think about the Corinthian church. This is the whole church. And basically, they were described as a carnal group of people. Now, again, these are just some demonstrations of flesh in the Bible. And, of course, the Corinthian church, they were known for, I am of Paul, I am of Barnabas. You know, they wanted to be of one man, or they wanted to follow one guy and then shoot the other guy and not care about him. And they wanted to have the preeminence. And they, you know, just all these different things. There was envy, there was strife, there was all these things. All of that is carnality. It really is. Somebody gets an award, and you sit there and go, why, they get it. I should have gotten it. Your flesh. That's all flesh. That's all it is. What you ought to do is rejoice. Amen. Somebody comes to church. They say, hey, you know, I got a raise the other day. And you say, I don't get a raise. I don't understand why I don't ever get a raise. What's the problem? Why can't I have that? You know, you're carnal. That is flesh. You know, somebody has a blessing. They give a praise, give a testimony, and God doesn't ever do anything for you. You know, that's your flesh. That's all it is. Somebody comes in, they're driving a nice car, and you look at that and you say, boy, you know, look at them. I mean, why can't I have? All that is flesh. It's always the flesh. That's the flesh. That's the flesh. And by the way, you cut somebody down in order to build yourself up. That is your flesh doing that. It's not God. I don't care how spiritual you may make it sound. It is not spiritual. And so the demonstrations of the flesh, we could have given many over and over and over. The scripture is very clear. About examples, but I move into number 4, and I want to at least get started on this, and that is the deceit of the flesh. Because our flesh is sensual, and our flesh is linked in with being devilish, and you've got to understand, there's going to be deceit. involved, I guarantee. And again, as we read just a little while ago in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 18, let no man deceive himself. How can I deceive myself? Well, it's my flesh can deceive my spirit. My flesh can be very, very deceitful, and we can be very deceived of ourselves. Go back there to 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 18, and let me just show it to you. Again, it starts off with verse 16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. And again, you know, how can we deceive ourselves? There's only one way, and it's very simple as far as our flesh is concerned. I like what my flesh likes. I like it. Okay, somebody says to me, and we'll have this, you know, preacher, do you like rock music? Oh, no, wicked, vile, heathen. Oh, it's out of hell. It's of the devil. But I'll tell you what, there are some old 70s songs my flesh likes. In fact, just about all of them. I mean, I'm in a restaurant, and it's embarrassing sometimes. I've been in a restaurant before, and all of a sudden something starts to play, and my foot's tapping. And all of a sudden in my mind, there's the words. You say, oh, preacher, no. Yes. That's my flesh, though. And that's what Paul's saying. It's a frustrating thing. But here's the thing, though. See, my flesh could start talking to my spirit and saying, it's okay. It wasn't as bad back then as it is today. Doesn't that sound good? Your flesh ever told you that? Yeah, I hear it from people. Or somebody whose flesh has feasted on country and western stuff, you know, the old stuff. You know, just about whiskey and wild women and all that kind of stuff, you know. And, well, it's not as bad as rock music is. Or it's not as bad as some of the rap music is. And all of a sudden, we're deceiving ourselves because we're going to open up a door by saying, my sin isn't as dirty as your sin. We deceive ourselves. And why do we do it? Because we like it. We like it. It's like you know, some of the foods we eat. I'm just going to eat a little bit of this death by chocolate. Just a little bit. And after two bowls, what'd you do? You deceived yourself. Oh, just a little bit won't hurt me. And you know what? A little bit wouldn't have, probably. Oh, we do it, don't we? And that's a silly illustration, but it is an illustration that we all can identify with. Now, think about your flesh and how your flesh can deceive you. Let me give you some things, all right? First of all, we focus on others' fleshly desires. Like I said, mine aren't as bad. We go through the list in Galatians 5, and boy, we're good at going through lists, aren't we? Yes, we are, especially when we're trying to find it in somebody else. I know there's something in the Bible about that guy's doing. And we look at that list, and it's amazing that there is highlighted in that list, everything except what I like, or that might lead to what I like. And we certainly would never call thinking on a woman to commit adultery. We would never call that adultery, and therefore our chat room discussion becomes okay, and our flirting at work becomes okay. See, we don't circle the word adultery and put that for us. We put that for somebody who really, really did it, right? Or idolatry. Well, people that worship idols. We never would ever, never think about our sports team being an idol. We wouldn't, would we? We would never think about our wallet, our money being our idol, or we would never, certainly never think of ourselves. When the predominant teaching in our world today is secular humanism, But we've never fallen prey to loving ourselves or thinking we're something. And so we will focus on other people's fleshly desires, and we'll preach hard and or speak hard about it, but mine aren't as bad. And again, I want to remind you, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed. Because it's anybody. When you open the door, it's a deceit of the flesh. It's I used to be a lot worse than I am now. Okay, but if it's entertaining your flesh, you need to be a lot better and get better and keep getting better away from the flesh. Another deceit of the flesh is, let me remind you, the pleasure. Because we like it. The pleasure, all right? People will say this, and I'll hear this. God wants me to be happy. You know, I hear it all the time. God wants me. In other words, I am going to get a divorce because God wants me to be happy. I am going to break this law because God wants, you know, I know he wants me to be happy. Now, do you understand how far you can take that? That is a deceit of your flesh. And all it is, hey, God wants me to feel good. Okay? That's an old line that fellas will use on a girl. Oh, he wants us to be happy together. You know? Yeah. It's old. That's old. Okay? I just want to remind you, pleasure. Okay? And y'all to write it down and circle it. You know, pleasure, it's a season. Okay? Pleasure ends. Okay, it ends. Okay, Moses, he forsook pleasure. Egypt's pleasure. He forsook that because he knew it was a season. And instead, he went with his people, the real people. And instead of pleasure, he had to endure some hardship. But the hardship brought on eternal pleasure rather than 10-minute long pleasure. 10-minute pleasure can bring years of sorrow. David could testify to that. Samson could testify to that. Esau certainly could testify to that. Because the pleasure ends. And then you pay for the pleasure. Okay, you know, anybody that's ever been drunk, don't raise your hand. We don't need to know. But anybody that's ever been drunk, boy, we had a great time. How about the next morning? Oh. You know, better yet, how about paying the fines for all the laws that you broke and the fact that you woke up in your own vomit in a prison cell? That didn't work out real well, did it? Boy, we had a good time, though. Yeah, I know. It's not, folks, understand, it's not all about having a good time. Your flesh likes a good time. Your flesh likes that pleasure. And your flesh will tell you, you deserve. You deserve to have this good time. You know, ask women who have had an abortion about that little bit of pleasure. Ask people that have diseases about that little bit of pleasure. Ask people in jail, prison. Ask those who have ended up with a divorce about that pleasure. You just have to understand. God wants us to be happy, but he never wants us to give in to the flesh to find that happiness, because you won't find it. I'm sure when Eve ate that fruit, she thought, this is the greatest thing in all the world. She saw that it was good. She saw it was pleasant to the eyes. She saw all these things, and she convinced herself, with Satan's help, and he'll always help your flesh. Pleasure. Now you think about it. Again, how many times do we give in to pleasure? How many times do we give in to pleasure and with the idea that, well, I know God just wants me to be happy. And that is deceit of our flesh. Why would our flesh deceive us? Because it desires that thing. Your flesh desires that thing. And then we move on to Galatians 6 and verse 7. Galatians 6 and verse 7. Galatians 6 and verse 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Watch it now, verse 8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. We have this idea, somehow we're going to beat that. I counsel people all the time. They've got it figured out. They can beat that. In other words, if I sow to my flesh, I'm going to reap of the Spirit. If I sow bad things, I'm going to reap good things. And we somehow, honestly, there are people that believe they can beat that. You'll never beat it. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. You sow the seed, and whatever that seed was is what's reaped. Period. It is never going to be beaten. But our flesh deceives us into thinking, that's not going to happen. That's why people think somehow we can do wrong right. Get it? And it works out right, doesn't it? We'll justify our wrong. We'll make our wrong religious. That's what Christian rock is. It's trying to make our wrong religious. And we think somehow, I know some of you, it's already starting to raise in the back of your neck. I know. Go ahead and get your Facebook account out. You know, go ahead and put Pastor Rogers, P-A-S-T-O-R. But I'm telling you, it is flesh. But I like it! That's flesh. It's flesh. And reaping, understand, you know, again, well, it didn't happen, nothing happened. I'm okay, I made it, I did my own thing, ha ha ha. Did you know that the harvest always comes a long time after the planting? It takes time. It never works. It just does not work, okay? So, example, if you catch them, girls, if you catch him by flesh, then you're going to reap of the flesh. You've just caught flesh. Because you used flesh to catch flesh. That's why I have no idea why you would dress immodestly to catch a guy. Because all you're doing is use, and you may want a spiritual guy. You're not going to catch a spiritual guy with flesh. You're going to catch a fleshly guy with flesh. You say, yeah, but oh, he's wonderful. But if he was wonderful, then he doesn't need you to look like you look and dress like you dress to try to get his attention. If he's so wonderful, God will tell him that you're the one for him. Oh, I could never. Yeah, I know. But you're going to reap. And girls do all the time because they caught him with their flesh. And boy, they come and see me later on after 10 years of marriage. And they're miserable because they got flesh. Because they used flesh to catch flesh. And they got flesh. And that's how it is. That's how it always is. But our flesh lies. And we deceive ourselves. And we think somehow we are going to be the exception. There aren't any. There never are any. Let me give you one more and we'll be done. By the time we acknowledge the danger, we're hooked on it. Just like bait to a fish. By the time we acknowledge the danger, we're hooked on it. That's how bitterness becomes a root of bitterness. Because we let it in the first place. We let it in. And so Brother Hollins does something that I don't necessarily like. And so I eye him. Instead of just going to him saying, Brother Hollins, why did you do that? And instead I look at him and I'm mad. And now I'm so mad, I dwell on it. Now all I should do, biblically, I should just go to him and say, Brother Hollins, why did you do that? And he says, oh, Pasta, I didn't know I did that. And I say, oh, Brother Hollins, this. And instead of doing that, though, I just look at him real, and now I'm really upset. And every time I look at him, I get madder and madder. And pretty soon, one day, Tim's around, and Tim's there, and Brother Hollins walks by, and I say, Tim, you know about Brother Hollins? And Tim says, no, what about him? I said, he's pitiful. He's I'm that guy. I can't believe. And so now I tell Tim all about it. And Tim says, well, you know what? I know some stuff about Brother Hollins too. And then Glenn Carpenter gets involved and he said, did you say Brother Hollins? Yeah, yeah, Brother Hollins. In fact, we won't even call him Brother Hollins. We'll just call him Hollins. And Hollins, we know about this. And Brother Carpenter, well, you know what? I heard something about him too. And you know, pretty soon, now I'm really getting inflamed. I can't believe, how would he do Tim wrong? How could he do that to Tim? How could he do that to Brother? How could he do so many wicked things? And you know what? It's like this. The devil says, and by the time I'm hooked, I can't hardly get off of it. That's why some of you have gossiped for years and years and years and years. You don't even know what gossip is anymore. It's just your way of life. Because you've been hooked. And that's why you're miserable. You know, honestly, I feel bad about it. You know, you say, you calling me out? I didn't point anybody out. You know who you are. Maybe. If you don't, ask people that say they like you. They'll tell you you are. Or they'll tell someone else that you are. People get addicted not because they plan to be addicted. Nobody goes out and says, you know what, I just like to be a drunk. I just want to be a drunk. Or I want to get hooked on drugs. Nobody, they don't plan on that. But what happens is they give in to their flesh, and their flesh likes something. And they like it so much, they get hooked on it. And by the time they acknowledge they're in trouble, they can't quit. These girls that starve themselves and puke up their food and to lose weight and everything, what is that? It's the same old thing. You know, I want to be skinny because the world says skinny is beautiful. And instead of using common sense, they puke up their food. They become anorexic, and it literally is depriving their bodies, and they're shrinking down to nothing, and they're headed for the doctor's office or headed to an emergency room or something. And by the time they acknowledge they're in trouble, they're hooked. I've never understood why anybody would want to puke. I don't like to puke. It makes me sick. I don't, honestly. But I've counseled too many that do. What is it? It's their flesh. That's all it is. It is the flesh. Folks, the flesh is never going to be honest with you, ever. It has no intent. Here's what the flesh wants. It wants its way. It always wants its way. And, you know, we need to be warned that it will deceive us. I think we have one more Sunday. Maybe one and a half of talking about this. But I want to encourage you. The Bible says that we are to make no provision. And we'll talk about that next week. The Bible says we are to die, like Paul did. I die daily. The Bible says one of the best protections against the flesh, and we'll get into this again later on, is walk with Jesus. I think I talked about this in staff devotions a couple weeks ago or something. But you walk with, imagine Adam and Eve. All right, and God's told them not to eat the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden. And then they're just, God, would you just stay with us? Because I don't even want to be tempted. And so now God is with Eve all the time, and the serpent tries to come out, and there's God. Can you imagine? Think about it. All right? And finally, the serpent gets so frustrated. You know, how am I going to do this? And there's God, there's Adam, there's Eve, here's God. And he's right there with him. Finally, the serpent comes out and does his thing. Hey, you need to eat that fruit. And Eve looks over at God and says, what do you think, God? Walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed.